Election integrity is our topic right now, the potential of voter fraud. Our guest is Scott Powell. He's a senior fellow with the Discovery Institute. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. By the way, Scott Powell's website is discover.org. Often you'll see articles that Scott has written, published in different places, including American Thinker. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
All right. Now, it seems to me that this election was marred by voter fraud. And let me timestamp this discussion. We are talking in the year of our Lord, 2020, on November 12th in the afternoon. That's significant because last Tuesday, of course, was the election. At first, it seemed as if maybe Trump was going to win. And then they stopped all the counting overnight, and then there's questions about what happened afterwards. First of all, let's get your reaction to the whole election and even the potential voter fraud.
Well, I think the potential for voter fraud was acknowledged by William Barr back in August and many other people because as soon as it was the Democrats that tried to change the rules for voting. They took advantage of the COVID environment, which had a heightened fear of people going out and voting, to increase the mail-in ballot program vastly across multiple states. And of course, that invites irregularities and ballot fraud. So that was an early awareness of that, and the reality is that there was massive voter fraud in multiple states and most of these swing states, and it is really a developing story. I think just today, President Trump focused in on the failures of the Dominion voting systems that were used in all these states. That electronically, it appears that votes were retallied in a massive way, and I think many people wondered what the heck happened when the voting stopped after midnight on election day, November 3rd, and Trump was way ahead in all the swing states. Pennsylvania, he was ahead by 700,000. Michigan, 300,000. Wisconsin, 200,000. And then when we looked in the morning, all of that had changed. And where did the votes for Biden come from is still the question that everyone's trying to answer.
Well, one specific anecdote. Okay, it's my understanding that in one particular county in Michigan, the Dominion software that you mentioned, they decided somebody, I think, one of the down ballot candidates or whatever, challenged the results where he had lost, and he wanted a hand count of those same votes. And so as they did that, they discovered that 6,000 votes that the machine had given for Biden were actually 6,000 votes for Trump. So in other words, people literally voted Trump, and then it somehow the software changed it to Biden. And on top of it, they were saying that 47 counties in Michigan used that same software. So, you know, this seems to stink. You know, I mean,
it certainly does.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Give you a little color on Dominion voting systems. The state of Texas reviewed that as a voting platform, as a technology voting platform, and they rejected it three times because of weak security issues. So, of course, you know, we're a federalist system, and each state makes their own decisions, but Texas rejected it for its weakness. So it's hard to know whether it was a failure of Dominion or perhaps that there may have been hacking into the systems to make vote tally changes, which was fairly easy to do, according to many engineers who understand these systems. If you have a weak system that's easily penetrated, you can change the vote tally quite easily.
Now, a couple of days ago, Neil Cavuto on his Fox News program, he broke away to a press conference of the president's spokesperson, Kelly McEnany, and she was explaining or alleging voter fraud, and then he just cut away from her and said, you know, this is without any kind of evidence, da 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 da, and apparently that's not accurate because there's all kinds of evidence, all kinds of affidavits. It just takes time to pull all this together. But I think the way Fox News has kind of reported on these things, they've disappointed a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. Fox has had a huge exodus of its viewers. You know, they had a fairly faithful viewership, but there are millions of people who have left Fox. They voted with their feet, and they're going to other stations like Newsmax and OAN.
Yeah, but this is a very interesting thing, and apparently the wife of one of the Murdoch sons said after Biden apparently won, he's the projected president-elect, she said, we did it. And that's just galling.
Oh, it really is. You know, I haven't followed all the nuances of these stories. I've been kind of focused on the voting issues in these states, and each state's a little bit different. The problems in Pennsylvania are different than Michigan and different in Wisconsin and different in Georgia. But in all the states and all the swing states that are being contested now, that would include Nevada and Arizona and the other states, there are serious issues and hundreds of affidavits have been written and are being filed in courts as we speak. And of course, when someone signs an affidavit, they are doing so under the penalty of perjury. So people take this very seriously. And we'll just have to see how the courts respond. And, the Constitution actually has a remedy for the situation, because if the states can't resolve the problems because the fraud is so widespread and it's hard to pin down, then what can happen is that the decision is turned over to the legislatures of the states, and each state gets essentially one vote, and they vote their electors. The state legislature would vote their electors according to the to the political makeup of the legislature. So that really helps Trump's case strongly.
Do you think there's... go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were...
So the wisdom of the founders comes through again in creating a constitution that can solve problems in the midst of what everybody thinks is a chaotic crisis that's unresolvable. No, the constitution has direction on how to solve this problem. And the most important thing, of course, is the sovereignty of the people. The integrity of the vote is paramount. And we can't have illegitimate votes canceling out legitimate votes. And so the sovereignty of the people can be restored because the people voted for their legislatures. So now the legislatures in each state can then vote their electoral votes accordingly. So I don't know whether that's going to happen. A revote in these states would be very time-consuming. And we're under the gun in terms of time to both get votes certified and then to have inauguration on January 20th.
Is there
but
any?
But if we have to extend these things, it is well worthwhile, because this, if we don't get this right now, we may not see a free election in the future.
Is it possible that Trump could somehow win after all?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's rather quite likely.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Spell this out.
Well, if vote fraud is, as I say, as if vote fraud is deemed accepted by the courts, and there needs to be an adjudication, there needs to be a decision on how to deal with it. First of all, we're still early in the investigation, but if electronic votes, if it can be determined that vote tallies were tampered with and it can be quantified and it swings the vote tally back to Trump in Pennsylvania and Michigan, he's the next president.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Well, and it seems like a lot of these things, probably the most amount of stories come out of Pennsylvania. In terms of, because Pennsylvania has, I believe, 20 electoral college votes. That's a lot.
Yes, it is 20, right.
Yeah, so it's a big, big prize. And the, you know, I've heard of situations where the people in the poll counting area wouldn't allow monitors to come in. They even put boards up over the windows or whatever,
yes,
to protect that.
Dead
people voting, people who lived during the Civil War voting, presumably voting for Biden. Sidney Powell, General Flynn's attorney, said that there were 450,000 ballots that they found in Pennsylvania that only had one vote on them, and that was for Biden. And the likelihood of that, you know, existing, you know, without any kind of monkey businesses is very unlikely.
Well, statistically, it's almost impossible. So that alone is Pennsylvania, and that swings the vote back into the Trump column. And the vote in some of these other states is very close. All it takes is Pennsylvania and one other state, and I believe Trump gets over 270
wow.
Electoral college votes.
Okay, we have about 3 minutes left. Talk about Georgia. What's at stake? What can be done? I mean, a lot of people are saying, what can we do? What can we do? Well, that, in addition to pray, you can at least help with Georgia now.
Absolutely. You know, it's all hands on deck. These two senators, you're speaking of the two senators, mm-hmm. Special elections for the two senators. We know from the experience we've just been through that money does not buy votes. Enormous amounts of money were spent to defeat Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and others, and it came to naught. So, you know, we can take some, we can have some peace that it's not just going to be money that'll determine the vote, but it'll be the ideas and the platform, the policies of the candidates, the strength of the candidates. So, given what we've been through, I think the case can be made very strongly that it's absolutely important to have competition in our electoral system to mitigate corruption, and that Georgia should have two Republican senators.
All right. I've got a question for you. We've been doing absentee ballots in this country for decades and decades. I mean, more than 150 years, as I understand it. What's the difference between absentee ballots, which are totally legitimate, and ballot harvesting?
Well, I mean, or are you speaking of just the mail-in ballots?
Yeah, mail-in ballots.
Absentee
yeah.
ballots have to be applied for. So the citizen voter who's going to be out of town or feels that they can't go to the polls, they have to apply to get that absentee ballot. They have to sign for it. So it's a very legitimate system, and we should maintain that.
Right.
Anybody that wants to vote absentee should be able to do that, but they've got to follow the protocol, and that means identification, signature, and so forth. These mail-in ballots that were just mailed out there, to all addresses of record, many of which didn't have people at the receiving end, but the ballot arrived somewhere, and then were taken and submitted. You know, were voted and submitted. You notice that the fraud is on the Democrat side; it's not on the Republican side. So the problem with huge increasing our mail-in program, which is really what we went through, is it's led to all this chaos that we now have,
yeah.
with massive amounts of ballots being dumped in Philadelphia, in Detroit, and we've got to have an orderly system, and we've got to have clear rules, and maybe the solution will be for us to move. Though we have a federalist system which gives states the rights to do things in their own way, in terms of national election, maybe we should have uniform standards established. Hmm. Maybe that's what will come out of this chaos that we're now passing through. One hopes that we can learn from mistakes and get it right.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, you know, we live in Florida, and a lot changed between 2000 and 2020 on that front. Scott Powell, thanks again for being with us. Discovery.org for more information. Thank you, Scott. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.